Let's open our Bibles, get into Romans chapter 8 and how glorious that is. And let this mind be in us. Hallelujah. Praise His name. So getting into the 8th chapter of Romans. And let's just begin reading from the 14th verse because that's where we left off last Wednesday. And it says there in the 14th verse, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And I'll go ahead and read the 18th verse. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Praise His name. Yes, amen. And that's what's going on tonight, is this wonderful transition as we go along here in Romans. We're getting into the most revealing and thrilling scripture, really, I believe, maybe in the whole entirety of the Bible. This is high water time. Praise be to God. But Paul, as we will begin tonight, is going to move into the provision that God has given us into the fully purposed plan of the power of the love of God to us. This is very exciting stuff, and I'm thankful to God that this isn't something, well, I've read it before, that type of thing. Oh, no. It just becomes more brilliant and more thrilling as, again, the Spirit speaks it to our hearts and makes this real to us. But as we begin in this 14th verse, brothers and sisters, we know that our sonship, our birth in Christ, born of God, is not predicated upon our actions. Amen? It's not. I am so grateful to God. The Word of God tells us in so many different ways, but I love when He says, "I cannot deny myself." I'm thankful to God that He cannot deny His life that lives in us. Praise be to God. It's so wonderful. It's so powerful is what it is. And just so our flesh wouldn't get all riled up about reading verse 14. Because I've spoken to people that get pretty riled up in the flesh and they'll try to pop out verse 14 all by itself without any connection with really what the intent of the Word of God and the meaning of it is. They'll try to say that, see, you're really not a son of God unless you're really following God. And we know that the Word of God tells us very clearly. Matter of fact, in this chapter, He said it real quick and real straight. In case we tried to get a little puffed up, God help us not to. But He said right there in the very first verse, "For all Christians, for all of His children, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus," period. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Gives me chills every time I think about it. It really does, because I think about how faithful He is, how good He is to us, how wonderful and powerful that precious life that lives in us, the perfection, the completion of what Christ Jesus finished on the cross for us. But I thank Him that, as we read through this chapter, and as was pointed out, that it begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. It is impossible to be separated from the love of God. So not only can we not be condemned, He's going to still love us. You know, it's just, well, I'm just going to tolerate you. No, He's going to absolutely adore you. You are His son. And I thank the Lord for that, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, in that truly perfect love, perfect understanding, now we can address verse 14 and its beauty to us. So instead of getting puffed up or getting us to question what is really our standing with the Lord, because we already know what our standing is with the Lord, it's sure, It's steadfast. Praise be to God. It's done and it's finished. I am so thankful we are seated in the heavens in Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are now the sons of God. So our standing is and always will be secure. Period. It will not change in that standing. What God is encouraging us in and will continue is the state. Now, so instead of questioning our standing here, what verse 14 does is it actually empowers just the opposite. Again, that we are sons. And I want to make this statement, and I pray to the Lord that you're encouraged in this. But the Spirit, brothers and sisters, in what this is saying, is there to lead all sons. The Spirit is there to lead all sons. He is always there to lead all sons. Now, all sons won't follow that leading. By God's grace, we again want to be enlightened to understand that that is the way that we should take. The Bible assures us, brothers and sisters, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as the Spirit says, is always willing. The Spirit is willing. The Spirit is always willing to lead. Praise be to God, the Spirit is there always. I am so thankful to God that that precious Trinity, however, you know, Jesus Christ, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Spirit is willing. You think about the Father as He's shown there with the prodigal. Well, he's not coming home. He did bad. Let's just lock the door and shut it up. If you see him on the property, run him off. Huh? We know that's not true, but that's what I'm saying. Every bit of that Trinity is working. Praise God. Come on, honey. Come on. You can do all things through Christ. That life that lives in you, praise be to God, you son of God, the sons of God are led, praise the Lord, by the Spirit of God. We're so thankful for that. And that's what we are assured of. And that's why verse 15 proclaims so magnificently here, brothers and sisters, there is no fear. See, when we know there's no condemnation, we don't go to abuse it. We don't sin willfully that grace may abound. As you begin to understand grace and its true love story meaning to your life, you want Him to will and to do of His good pleasure in your life. When you know somebody loves you, believe it or not, you want to respond. You want to praise God, to praise them, thank them, to let them know how much you appreciate it. Well, God says, well, you really want to show me how much you appreciate me? You can't please me except by faith. So believe how much I'm for you. Believe how much is in my Son. Matter of fact, everything's in my Son. Isn't that wonderful? And I've given Him completely to you. So see, there is no fear. That's what's so magnificent here. And this is what He's telling us in from verse 14 to assure us in verse 15. In that spirit that we have, we do not have a spirit of bondage to fear. Whom He has made free is free indeed. And we love that precious verse. And we thank God and live the liberty that He has given us in Christ. Brothers and sisters, His perfect, complete, everlasting love casts out all fear. Amen. All fear. Praise God. And lots of times, I know as the Lord really began to deal with me in bridal truth, and I'm talking for a period of years, there was always that different types of fears. Fears, well, am I going to be ready? That's a fear I don't want to have. Am I going to be ready? I want to trust God that He's going to perform the good work that He's begun. I'm going to apprehend the grace of God, and I'm going to leave it to Him. Amen? Amen. That's how He does it. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there was a fear. And then the fear of, oh my goodness, I just don't think I'm doing enough. You know what I'm saying? I'm not studying enough. Oh, I didn't really get this or something of that nature. Where, again, you're looking to self. And that's a fear. It can be a fear that way. A fear of, well, you know what? I did really wrong. A fear of that guilt. I was running so well. And thank God you used me so wonderfully, Lord. And it was magnificent in our fellowship. And man, have I blown it. And then you're embarrassed, and maybe you withdraw, and as the enemy wants to do, just put you in that condemnation, You know it. Well, I hurt the saints, or I hurt this one, or man, I could never show my face around there again. See, that's just what the enemy wants. And ones that would have that kind of heart right there, I'd know if I had that kind of heart and said, look, oh yeah, how could dare you show your face around here? I wouldn't be spiritual, would I? See, ye that are spiritual, you restore. You want that fellowship. You covet that fellowship. I just think it again how Paul was so challenged, just like Jesus is. You know, they were in there trying to question, well, when is divorce okay? You know, they were going all the way down with him. And, you know, it's just amazing. And then like with Brother Paul, you know, they're talking about his fellowship with brethren. I don't want to get into that right now. I better stop, or I'm going to get into a whole nother subject. All right. So, that might be for Sunday night, though. We'll see. Lord, help me. But it's so sad, brothers and sisters, that many Christians, they live the lie as if they're in bondage. Trying to keep the law somehow to be pleasing to God. Had a very good conversation with one of my nephews today, and I thank the Lord. I ask you to pray for him, sweet brother, and just encouraging him. See, it's a slippery slope, brothers and sisters, when we go down. We can go down the way of trying to be accountable. Well, we got to have accountability partners and things. And that's a big catchphrase. It's very pleasing to the flesh. Let me tell you something. The Lord takes care of me. He takes care of you, okay? He really does. Now, we encourage one another. We're precious joints in this body, and there's a wonderful supplying that goes on. But let me tell you something. It all comes from the head. Isn't it wonderful? And I thank God we go boldly to the throne of grace. I couldn't be accountable for anything. I really couldn't. I'll blow it. I promise you I will, and you will too. Thank God that He is faithful, and we leave it there. And thank the Lord that He is the one that chastens and encourages and does all these things, and we thank Him for that. So when we try to work and try to keep, see, what's going to happen is eventually God, again, He's so faithful, He's going to allow that failing, and it's going to be very miserable, and it's going to hurt, and thank God for those things. But that's fear. And I know, I'll tell you what, I know of pastors, I should say, and I hate to even use that word, when they preach that condemnation stuff to keep people in fear, to try to keep them coming back to their meeting. God, help us, Lord. Just allow that gospel to be preached. You're free. There is therefore now no condemnation. I want to preach the magnificent grace of God to you. That's the only thing that's ever going to get you to respond in true love, in that fervent love that will allow you to run and win Him, and run and finish with a full joy, to run and understand Jesus Christ wants to marry me. Amen. That will only be seen and apprehended. That fervency will only be given, praise God, when you understand and apprehend the grace of God. Praise the Lord. All right. And again, it's just like getting married. My goodness, if my wife or I would have thrown out, well, here's my list of requirements, honey, for us. We're going to get married, and here's what you're going to do. Well, I would have been talking to myself. And that would have been done. It don't work that way. It's just we need to praise God and get together and, you know, love. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right. Now, we know that this bondage and fear is not intended for any of God's precious children. Amen. And as we go along here, so precious, because we've received the spirit of adoption. And adoption, praise God, is so wondrous here because we are sons. We have been grafted in. Hallelujah. We're in that vine. I thank the Lord. We're not waiting for something, in a sense, in that regard to happen. We are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Our standing right now is our sons. And because of that assurance, because of this great grace, we cry, Abba, Father. And there's a huge, huge difference in that Abba, Father, brothers and sisters. So many magnificent meanings in that, and I just want to point out a couple. First of all, and we've spoken about it many times, see, many people will say Father, but this Abba, Father brings it to the most intimacy that you could even have, in a sense, naturally speaking, of understanding what a dad our Father is to us, how caring He is. I thank God there was, I loved those two names that the Lord gave to my parents, Mom and Dad. It was never John and Nancy. It was never Mother and Father. That was Mom and Dad. And how I cherish, praise God, my dad, and how I cherish, praise God, to be a dad. And thanking the Lord that that means such a depth. It's all love. And this is where this intimacy of the fellowship that we have with the Father, that we don't go to God like this. I never went to my dad like that. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's the big eye watching me, and I am coming in there and, you know, like this. Absolutely not. I know He wants me to come boldly to the throne of grace. I know He covets that fellowship. I know He appreciates that I'm confident in His Son and that life of His Son that's in me. And He delights as I come boldly in the name of Jesus to my Father. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just absolutely how it is? But then, brothers and sisters, in this Abba Father, that's going to, it's the name of God in prayer. Praise the Lord. That is the intimacy. See, you say, well, what do you mean that's the name of God in prayer? Well, when you really understand about the life of Jesus Christ that lives in you, I mean, that's your life. It's the life of Christ. I'm now a son of God. That's acknowledging in this Abba Father, I know the reason that I can come boldly to you. It's because of your Son Jesus. It's because of the Lamb of God. That is in that name. That's the prayer. Hallelujah. That's the name above all names. That's the only way I can come to God. That's when, hallelujah, all of heaven takes note. Abba Father. All because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Yes. That's the relationship. That's the power. That's the way into that throne room and into the presence of God. It's all because of the new man. It's all because of the inner man. It's all because of Christ living in me. Hallelujah. Now, let's notice verse 16. Let's go back and read that. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I just love reading that. Now, we get that we are the children of God. But other than that, in that verse, I don't read anything about me, and I don't read anything about you. All I read about is that precious Godhead. All I read about is Him. Isn't it wonderful how completely dependent we are upon the Lord? That it is all by His Spirit. Here we have, praise God, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. You talk about ministering. I thank God how this is. The Holy Spirit ministering to me. The Holy Spirit ministering to the spirit of the life of Christ in me, that I am a child of God. You talk about being sealed with the Holy Ghost. I just love this. And praise God for the rest and the consolation that we have, brothers and sisters, and how God is bringing this line upon line and precept upon precept to us of this love and reassurance, again, that now are we the sons of God. Yes. Oh, treasure that. Be so thankful for that. I think of so many of this precious assembly, and I know some of the, again, we're children, we're growing up a little bit, but again, the parents and the things of that nature, you're so thankful for your families. I thank God you're, in a sense, you're proud of your parents and thanking God for their stand and all of the different things that God has graced you with in that family. And I think about how wonderful this is, brothers and sisters, that God is establishing this like never before, that our standing, hallelujah, will never change. We are now and forever the sons of God. I thank the Lord. You know, we're passing through. Yeah, don't get your tent stakes down too far. It's just about over. It's just about time. I thank God. I love how I say this sometimes to people. No matter how you cut it, it ain't going to be long. Speaking to people on the phone, I'm so grateful to God to tell them, you know, they might be very sick, maybe even nigh unto death. I don't know. But I said, you know what? I'll see you shortly, no matter how we cut it. And that's the truth. Our life's but a vapor. We know how fast this thing's gone. And thank you, Lord, that it has in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm thankful for every moment. I should say most of the moments in a lot of ways. But in Christ, I'm thankful for every moment because I know it took those times that I would have said, wow, what did I do? Why are we going here? But I know what God has done with those times. Those have been the most magnificent. But thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But here it goes on, and I love to use that precious phrase, but now, sonship is going to be put into glorious perspective as we go into verse, at the end of verse 16. We're a child son, in a sense, when we are born again. Praise God. We're a child. We're all born as babes. Praise the Lord. Nobody was born as a full adult here. Thank God. And matter of fact, anywhere, all right? So in this, praise God, when we give our hearts to the Lord, when we ask Christ Jesus into our hearts, we're babies, and we're his children. And how precious, it says here, as children, we are heirs of God. See, it says, and if children, then heirs. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the beautiful thing. I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. You're only a God's child if the blood's upon your life, if Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's why it says, and if you're a child, then you're an heir of God. Let's go over to Galatians 4:1. It's one of my favorite verses, and I believe many here. But let's go over to the fourth chapter of Galatians and read about our sonship and ability and, praise God, all of that potential provision that's been provided and even the purposes in this precious verses here that we're going to read. But in Galatians 4:1, it says, now I say that the heir, so here we are, children, heirs of God. So the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Isn't that something? Boy, there's a lot of encouragement in that verse, isn't there? And the encouragement really is the whole theme of the Bible to the sons of God, and that's grow up. Grow up unto him in all things. Amen. To be filled with all the fullness of God. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all there. Over and over throughout the Old Testament. All there. Praise God. All of those precious stories to us. The shadows and the types that God has for us to grow up. Now it goes on to say, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So you see, brothers and sisters, when we choose, because this is really what we choose, if we remain a child in a sense and don't grow up, we're going to wrestle with bondage. We're going to wrestle with a lot of things that the Lord doesn't wants us to grow up out of. God tells us that, again, as he was chastising those Galatians, that, you know, I should be giving you strong meat. And now all I can feed you with again is milk. See, he wants us to feast upon the gospel and grow up and on the strong meat of the gospel and grow up. That's the only way we're going to grow is going in, and the strong meat is in Paul's gospels, and we understand that that's exactly where it lies. So in that, we see, brothers and sisters, that if we remain children, and that's why ones that really wrestle with the truth, it's because they're not growing up in the truth. They're not being taught the truth. Now, they can't go blaming their pastor or their teachers or anything of that nature, because I'll tell you what, the Word of God says that he that wills to know will know. You'll get out of that place. You'll quit eating from a garbage pail. I speak to people every week, and I thank God that there's a tenderness towards these things, but they give me the excuse of why they don't sit under a meeting that preaches the whole counsel of God. Well, I know God has got this for me. This is my calling. No, it's not. I know the calling that's on every Christian's life. You're saved, praise God. As a matter of fact, every man's life. All men be saved, amen, and come to what? The full knowledge of the truth. Well, how are you going to come to the full knowledge of the truth if you're not hearing the full knowledge of the truth? How are you going to come to the full knowledge and the intimate knowledge of Christ if you're not hearing Paul's gospel rightfully divided? It's not going to happen. You need to hear the whole counsel of God. You have to feast upon that. If you're just feasting on milk, even naturally as a person, you're not going to fully grow. You might live, you might sustain, but your body's not going to grow right. That's only for a period of time. Those child that starts out that way, even little animals and things like that, they're weaned. They have to get off of that and go on and eat the diet that they need to eat in order to grow. And what's the diet that we need? We need strong meat. We need the word of his grace. Follow Paul as he followed Christ if we want that full maturity and that full growth in our lives. So thank the Lord how clear this is. Going on in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And here we go. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Isn't that wonderful? See, that's how we cry, Abba, Father. Remember how we were just rejoicing in that? It's because of the life of Jesus Christ in us. That's it. You can't come to God without him. It's impossible. It will not happen. I'd love to even read you. I'll go over here and read you. I was studying this for Sunday a little bit of this precious chapter. What is that? In, I guess it's 1 Peter. I think it is. Yes, 1 Peter 21. And this is speaking of Christ Jesus, who by him do believe in God. People tell me they believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, no, but I believe in God. No, you don't. No, you don't. The word of God, we believe, is true. He said, it says, who by him believe in God. Hallelujah. That's wonderful stuff. So then in verse 7, back in chapter 4, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Praise God. See, we're not in bondage. We're not in fear. Thank you, Jesus, that we always, always in that precious name, come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't ever be discouraged. Don't let people discourage you. Don't let people let you think that that's just the enemy. And remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So don't lay it on them. Don't do that. We understand that that's just the enemy's work. And we leave that where it is. Now, let's go on back to Romans and getting into that 17th verse. And we'll kind of stay here and wrap it up here tonight. But notice in the 17th verse, the change. Let's read it again. "And if children, then heirs." Praise God. That's wonderful stuff. I can't even imagine being an heir of God. It is. It's beyond my comprehension in a lot of ways. Come on now. It's easy for me to understand about being an heir of God. But you know what? That joint heir stuff, I can't imagine. What do you get over yourself? This is so beyond. It's incredible. I mean, the whole thing. That's why I say just that God sent his son to die for us. How could you understand that? It's just the love of God, that plan of God. It's by faith. Isn't it wonderful? So if I can believe that, you know what? That's Christ in me that does. Praise God, I can believe the whole counsel of God. I really do believe it. I want to be like that sweet brother back out there in Missouri. Well, you mean God said that? Well, I need that too. I believe that too. So as you hear it, pray, Lord, fervently. Lord, you want me to believe this. Help me to just embrace this. Let this be truly enlightened to me as my life. I understand it's my life because you've made it that, but let me apprehend it and live it, praise God, and grow up in it. But here it goes, and it says, "And if children, then heirs of God." Now here's the transition. "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So this is so precious. I know we know this very well, and praise God that we do. But as we read this tonight, and as the Spirit again speaks this to us, this is an inheritance, brothers and sisters, from an heir to a joint heir. Now this again is my favorite word in the Word of God in the Greek, and it's sunkleronimus. And sunkleronimus means joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. There's many definitions of it as well, too, but I love another part of that joint heir. It means equal share, equal, praise God. And from heir with God, the Father, notice here, so notice how it said, then heirs of God, to an extra portion or a double portion, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? So we're always heirs of God. Thank God for the body of Christ. But now there's more. There's that precious rib portion. There's that glorious church. Praise the Lord. Here it is. That double portion and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, it's not joint heirs with God. See, we can only be his children. We are born of God. But the joint heirship, brothers and sisters, is just like it is here, typed on this precious earth. That only happens one way, by marriage. Amen? See how he's given it that to us? We understand that. I have heirs. My sons are my heirs. But I have only one joint heir, and that's my wife. And thank the Lord how clear this is. You don't have to wrestle with this stuff. This is, praise God, very clear, and thank God, sincere to the light of the Word of God. And that is why, brothers and sisters, joint heirship is with Jesus Christ and not the Father, because it speaks of in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the one that is going to take a wife to rule and to reign jointly together with him. As we know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is seated on the right hand of God right now. He's at the right hand of God. He has not taken the throne as God. He will take the throne of God as God. He's going to do that, I believe, very soon. But he is not going to do that until one thing happens, and that's when his wife is with him, when she meets him in the air. That is that precious, hallelujah, wonderful wedding and wedding feast, and praise God, he will then take the throne as God with her. With his glory, praise his name. Now, I want you to notice some other things about this. The heirship, or the heirs of the children, is done. Amen? It's finished. See, notice how it says there. And if children, then heirs. We are the children of God. So we're children of God, then you're an heir of God. That's done. You understand that? That's finished, praise the Lord, because we are born of God. Just like when my sons were born to me, praise God, at that moment, they were my heirs. That was done, hallelujah. But the joint heirship, we notice as it starts into that second half of verse 17, it's got an if. It has the word if. There's a contingency with this. I thank the Lord that because there's more. There isn't a requirement beyond for that inheritance. And it's very clear what it is. If you suffer together with me. Praise God. I thank the Lord. You know, if you think about this even in your own natural life, every one of us were born somehow, some way, to parents. And in that birth, we inherited from our parents. We came into this life, even if you think about it, as heirs, didn't we? Now, ones that have grown and gotten married, now you have a joint heir. Amen? See how even in our natural lives, God has typed this out so perfectly? You didn't come into this life as a joint heir. Didn't happen because you weren't married. You're a baby. You're a child. You're an infant. You had to grow up to get married. Well, you should grow up to get married. That's a whole different story. Maybe that'll be on Wednesday night. No, I'm just teasing. So, but that's exactly how it is. But see how perfect the Lord is? He just is, he's just so, so far ahead of us, so beyond in his perfection, and how he witnesses to us. And that's why, brothers and sisters, by his Spirit, we do not need to wrestle with these things. We don't need to start having someone pick out a verse and say, well, see, it says this here. No, you need to take in the whole counsel of God, don't we? Amen? And it needs to be rightfully divided. And see, that's all the enemy does, is he tries to take verses. That's what he tried to do with Jesus Christ in the wilderness, and twist them and to turn them. And it sounded right, but it wasn't the divine word of God. It wasn't rightfully divided. And the Lord smacked him. It is written. Boom. Now there was nothing to stand upon. There wasn't going to be any argument there. See, the devil knew that there wasn't going to be an argument from that. That was the word, and it was done. Maybe he remembered at that time of being thrown out and cast out of heaven. Maybe brought back that reminder. Whoa! He's dirty. He's filthy. And all he does is steal, kill, and to destroy. That's all he's going to do. And he's going to do it with us by getting us away from the word of his grace. Having us veer off of those straight feet. Amen. That mark, that love, that perfect love. Getting us to think about things of this life and my feelings and all of these things. They're more important than truly the truth. The truth. Now, we want to preach truth and love. But remember this, it's still the truth. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's move on. But there's a requirement that we just mentioned here. And the requirement, brothers and sisters, is not for me to work for it or to do all these incredible things for it. No, but to suffer with Christ. And so sweetly, in so many different things, but why is it suffering? And if you really think about when you're willing to suffer with somebody, and I mean really go on with somebody, that's true love. That's love. That's, again, going back to our natural marriages. When we get married, brothers and sisters, man, we take on the same things. We take on the same trials. We take on the same experiences. I mean, we even take on in-laws. Think about all these things. But there's so much grace in my family. But I just tell you that, you know, we kind of chuckle at that. But you know what? We take it all on, don't we? Praise God. You know, it's just like people say, well, I'm just getting married to her. Well, you're really not. You don't. Time out. Now, you love. That's the love. But let me tell you something. You're taking all. And if you really love, you take it all. Amen. Just as I am. Praise God. And how wonderful that is. But see, it's completely going on with your love. And that's completely going on with him. And letting him not only lead you, but you actually, by faith in love, follow him. He doesn't just lead, but there's a love that, you know, you just can't help it. You know what I'm saying? You just can't help it. You just go. That was like Rebecca. I mean, how could you explain that? That one moment at a well, that wasn't very many hours that the Holy Spirit was telling her about her. And it really was the Holy Spirit in a sense. But Eliezer telling her about his master's son. And that loving family that she had. And all of that precious place and her hometown and all of those things. And in those short amount of hours, she was so blinded by that love. She said, I will go. And there was nothing going to stop her, and nothing even delayed her, not even for a moment. She got on that camel and took off. How do you explain that? Love. How do you explain that? The love message. It convinced her, didn't it? It convicted. It moved her. It swept her off her feet, put her on a camel, and took her on a way. She didn't know whither she was going, just like Abraham and that type. He just went. But I know God's leading, so I'm going to go. And look at the benefits. Look at the profit. Look at the windfall. Praise God. And how much more a better thing for us. All of those types, but for us, we get to win Christ. Hallelujah. This is incredible stuff. Now, the ministering of the Holy Ghost. This is wonderful because this is the proposal of the bridegroom's love for us, brothers and sisters. And again, it's just too much, too good. And you gladly, willingly, joyfully go to the point that 2 Corinthians 4:17 is our praise. You know what that is? For our light affliction. Can you imagine that? Now, did you hear that's your praise? Amen. In that great love, that is our praise. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then, verse 18 says it like this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, and I love this. You think about how it said, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. So there's this if and a may and all of these things, because that's, are we willing to yield? Now, verse 18 just says, okay, yielded ones. Here's what happens. There's no ifs or buts or mays about this. It's not worthy to be with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? Oh, I love that. Praise his wonderful, wonderful name. Hallelujah. Now, we can read of this as well too, brothers and sisters, as we go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And just to be reminded of that, yes, Ephesians 3, let's just read from the 5th verse, and this is again speaking of Paul's gospel, the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, this precious love of Christ in the church, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. See, that's what we're speaking of. Abraham, Rebekah, they didn't know this stuff. They saw types. There was ones even like Daniel. Can you imagine the things Ezekiel, when he was looking into that? My goodness, Lord, what is all this about? What's this? What are these cherubims? What's this fiery? What are these fiery ones? Huh? Just write them down, son. Praise God. Just to be able to see it was wonderful, wasn't it? But man, now, praise God, we know. And here it was, which is in other ages, it wasn't made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, and always remember this, this word Gentiles, it means saved Gentiles. It's huge in this. This is the children of God, okay? Here we go. Should be. See, there's that should be again. Kind of like the if or may. See, there's that choice of yielding. And that word fellow heirs is the same word back there in Romans 8 that we just read, which is joint heirs. And that word is synkleronymous. So again, that all men be saved, praise God, those are the heirs. And come to the full knowledge, joint heirs. That's the intimacy of a husband and wife. Full, complete, all the intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's just saying it. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. This is what this is. How many ways am I going to tell you here? When are you going to believe me? When are you going to say, I will go? Now, she did it in a manner of hours. How many years, brothers and sisters, huh? Praise God. And every day, that ministering to our hearts, that proposal, Lord, let it be fervent. Amen? Amen. Because she's a readied wife. Praise the Lord. Not just a readied bride. She's a readied wife. Yes, the wife hath made herself ready. But it says here that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same bodies and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We'll stop there and go back over here and finish it up tonight in chapter 8. Now, brothers and sisters, that verse 18, as we just read it, the glory which shall be revealed in us. And there's the glory, glorified together with him. Amen? That's it, all right? And this is a very hard one for so many to really receive. Glorified together with him. You know what that means? That means exalted to the same glory. Did you hear that? Glorified together with him means exalted to the same glory which Christ has been raised. That glory. Don't try to, well, it's close or it's this. It's the same glory. You got to get this because this is how great he is. This is how much he loves her. This is what he is offering to us. His complete and total victory, his complete and ultimate pleasure to God, the same glory is hers because it's him. There will be a company in unity of the Spirit that he will make known to all that he has loved. Now we're reading from Revelation 3:9. Causing them of the synagogue of Satan to come and worship before thy feet. All right, I'm going to read on. She will be on display forever. His glory, the bride, the Lamb's wife, arrayed with the righteousness of saints, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Revelation 21:9-11. Now that, brothers and sisters, is our precious word to us. That is Jesus to us. That is joint heirship together with Jesus to us. This is the proposal to us. Now, the only question that remains now for us is, do we have the faith to believe in that magnificent grace? That's it. Amen? Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. That's the only thing that holds me back. Amen? I can walk around that promise for years. But until I believe it's mine, mine, I will never enter in. And it takes a goofy sort to believe it's mine. We're talking Caleb and Joshua goofy. We're talking Elisha, smack him around goofy. They're ones that are just in love. They're ones like the Apostle Paul that I'm sure those people are just dumbfounded. I mean, Paul, you had it made, man. You were like the king of the synagogue. I mean, you were walking, you know, what we thought was righteousness. And he said all of that was but dung. Oh, I thank God that you stripped that from me. Huh? That's the one. That's the mark. Yes. But do we have the faith to believe in that grace? I believe I'm looking at some tonight. Praise God. It's just because of the testimony of the faithfulness of God in you, though. Had nothing to do with you. But all about the power of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just letting that truth live. Amen? See, just choosing rather to not believe the lie. Why? Why waste time? I thank the Lord that he's impressed upon my life. I do not want to waste time. People sometimes want to come in there, they want to argue the word of God. I'm not here to waste time. Go along, waste your time somewhere else. You want to search the scriptures? By his Spirit, all day long. You want to come in here and fight? I'm not doing that. I do not want to go that way. Do not want to entertain that flesh. Why? He could come. I want to be ready. I don't want to be distracted. Don't. I'll give you the word of God, but that's about it. I want to go feed. I want to stay hungry. Be full. Grow in that wineskin. Need some more. Hallelujah. But see, brothers and sisters, do we have the faith to believe in that magnificent grace? Or are we still too timid? Are we still too self-righteous? So self-righteous that I'm still saying, and I know we sang that song tonight, Well, I'm just going to cast my crown. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not, by God's grace, going to cast mine. Matter of fact, if I'm one of those that has that crown, they don't cast it. They don't. They're not there to behold the glory. They're there by the grace of God to be His glory. It's so awesome. But this is exactly, praise God, what He has in the offering to us. And there's just no way the ring, the wedding ring's coming off my finger. No. It's a treasure. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man, take thy crown. I believe if that queen over there said she'd never take off that crown because it would dishonor her king, how much the more for the lover, the I am of my soul. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.